Today is November the 18th, Saturday 2006, and the conference of today will have the title of Reincarnation. First of all, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Manonat Das. I am a disciple of the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. First of all, I'd like to apologize for my imperfect English and my funny accent. I'm sure you will not take it as a problem, supersede it, and try to understand what I'm trying to say. Life is the most cherished thing we have, because it's through life that we can have the object of our desire. And of course, being ourselves so attached to life, we cannot but be curious and sometimes scared about death, because when death comes, we cannot have any more happiness or pleasure. Of course, we are very attached to life and we are scared about death. And ignorance is what actually bothers us. We don't know what's happening when people die. In other words, are we going just to jump in some dark well and fall down for eternity, or there is a paradise which is promised in all religious scriptures? What is death? And after leaving this body, are we going to take another body, as some scriptures says? For instance, the Bhagavad Gita, the scriptures of India, also Buddhism, talk about reincarnation. And people, of course, is very curious about that. They want to know. Want to know about life, want to know about death, and they want to know if there is a life after death. So in my very, very long experience of a teacher of Krishna consciousness, our philosophy, by traveling all over the world, I could see that the subject matter which attracts people the most is reincarnation. Not exactly the most, you know, but one of the most interesting subject matter. When we talk about reincarnation, generally many hands comes up putting questions. I hope you also will have some questions, and during this 15 minutes of presentation of our philosophy, I hope that you will write down your questions and send them to me through a chat message. Thank you very much for that. Let's go to try to understand what is reincarnation, if actually reincarnation exists, and how it works. After death, we are going in another body. What body we are going to take? Are we going to come back again as human beings, or can we go to lower species of life? Like, can we become animals? Can we become vegetables? All these answers we'll try to answer briefly in these 10 minutes, 15 minutes we have disposition. Actually, we have 30 minutes, but we leave to 10 minutes for questions. Before understanding reincarnation, we have to understand we are what is that reincarnates itself? Reincarnates means re, again, incarnates, taking body, taking flesh. Latin languages, they have carne. Carne means flesh. So we can have flesh. Can we take flesh? Again. If we say reincarnates, means that something or someone has taken one's flesh or a body, and then it will take again another body. So there must be a difference between the person who is taking a body or taking again a body and the body itself or the bodies itself. So there must be some difference. The Bhagavad Gita explains quite clearly that there is a difference between the person who takes this body and the bodies themselves. Bhagavad Gita explains that the person, ourselves, are spiritual by nature. Our nature is spiritual. And the bodies that the spirit take are material, made of material elements. This distinction, which is made in the Bhagavad Gita, and not only in the Bhagavad Gita, by many other holy scriptures or philosophical scriptures of India, and not only of India, makes a clear distinction between the person and the bodies. They are two different things. Unless we don't accept this principle, unless we don't understand this principle, then reincarnation doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because the body is destroyed. So how can a body, which is destroyed at the moment of death, can take another body? What does it mean? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean anything. Reincarnation can be understood only if we make a clear distinction between the spirit, which is ourselves, the spirit soul, and the bodies, which are made of matter. There is a very interesting verse in the Bhagavad Gita which explains this principle very clearly. I can read it for you. Actually, there are many verses interesting which explain these things very clearly. I will read a couple of them only. Again, I repeat, if you have any question, you can send me a chat message. We are recording this class and we are going to air it in our radio. So that's why only I can speak, because if you speak, it doesn't get recorded. So this verse, we find it in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the text at 12, and says, Natvevaham jatunasam natvanneme janadipa nachaiva nabhavishyama sarvevayam taparam. This is Sanskrit. The English translation of this verse is, never there was a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. This verse is spoken on a battlefield. A battlefield is a good place to talk about life and death, because a battlefield means a lot of people are going to die. We are in India. This verse has been spoken many thousands of years ago in India, and there was a situation a little too long to explain. We are going to tell the story some other time. There is Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is the master, and is also the incarnation of God, the Supreme Personality of God, and Arjuna is his friend and disciple. Arjuna doesn't want to fight, and Arjuna and Krishna is explaining philosophy to Arjuna, try to convince him why it is wise in this specific circumstance to fight. Arjuna was talking in terms of father, brothers, friends, etc., etc. And Krishna is saying that these identifications are untrue. Those people that we think that are our mothers and sons, they're not actually mothers and sons, because mothers and sons are material identifications. And a body who is a son, but the soul is nobody's son, because it's eternal. So Krishna is explaining, never there was a time when I did not exist, nor you. We are eternal. The soul is eternal. This principle is fundamental. If we don't understand this principle, reincarnation doesn't mean anything. It's the soul who takes another body. The reincarnates. Re means again. Incarnates. Take body, take flesh, carne. In Latin language is carne, which means flesh. A reincarnation is not a strange, weird phenomenon. We can see reincarnation in this same life. Our body changes every 7 years. Our body is not the same that when we had 3 years, when we were 7 years old or 10 years old. It's changed completely. But we are the same. I remember things that I did when I was 10. I even remember my mother being pregnant of my brother, and I was 3 years old. I distinctly remember the big belly of my mother, and I was 3 years old. Now I'm 52, and I still remember. Why I can remember? I can remember because the person has always been the same, while the body has changed. We are different from the body, because if we were the body, then we could not remember what we did and what we saw when we was in a previous body. So the soul is eternal and the body is temporary. So I received a few questions yesterday through email. There is one question asking, the first question is, why we take other bodies? Because we are attached to this body, so why we take other bodies? We take other bodies because we need bodies to live. Not exactly we need bodies to live, but we need bodies to do things which are necessary to live. The soul wants to do something. The soul cannot stay without doing something at any moment. So the soul needs a body, either as a material body or as a spiritual body, but it needs a body to act. Which body do we take, spiritual or material? Why don't we take a spiritual body? A spiritual body is eternal, so why don't we take spiritual bodies? The body is the result of consciousness. Depending from our consciousness, we take a body accordingly. If our consciousness is impure, then we take impure bodies. If our consciousness is pure, then we take spiritual bodies. What is consciousness? Consciousness is the definition of we actually are. That's consciousness. Consciousness is the sum total of what we are. Again, depending from the state of consciousness, we can have material body or spiritual body. Right now, we have a material body. We have a material body because our consciousness is contaminated, it's not pure. Then we have material bodies. If we had a pure transcendental consciousness, then we won't need a material body, because what a perfect consciousness has to do with a material body which is imperfect? The bodies are the result of the quality of consciousness. The second question so came was saying why we take other material bodies. Other material bodies, we take them because our consciousness is still material. That's why at the moment of death, if we have material consciousness, then we have to take another material body, because the soul cannot stay without a body, or it takes a spiritual body, or it takes a material body. A body has to take. The Bhagavad Gita explains that depending from the state of consciousness we have at that moment, we take another body accordingly. It's not what we think at the moment of death that defines the body we are going to take. It's not like that. Of course, if we make an effort to think to God, to Krishna, the moment of death, that's good. But it's not exact, but it doesn't exactly work like that. It is not what we think, but what we are. There is a verse of the Bhagavad Gita where the verb to be appears 3 times. It's exactly what we are that will define our bodies after death. And what it makes consciousness material or spiritual. Our consciousness is made spiritual or material by actions, by what we do. And what we do doesn't mean only what we do physically, but also what we do intellectually or mentally. All our the total of our actions. And depending from the quality of actions, our consciousness transforms itself, is transformed. The moment of death is like the moment of examination. What we have done during our life will result in a state of consciousness. In a state of consciousness. And this state of consciousness will give us another body. Again, I already said it many times, because the soul, we, the person, ourselves, cannot stay without a body. We need a body. Material consciousness, material body. Spiritual consciousness, a spiritual body. This is the principle of reincarnation. The principle of reincarnation is based on the concept that we are different from this body. Otherwise, it would be inexplicable. We are not this body. We are spirit soul. And the spirit soul is what reincarnates. In other words, it takes another body after death. So, I think this is the basic principle explained in the Bhagavad Gita, and we can see from the Bhagavad Gita the difference between the body and the soul. For instance, in the second chapter, there is a very nice verse explaining how different is the soul from the body. Acedyo yam daiho yam akledyo shasha evacha nitya sarvagatasthanur achalo yam sanatana. Here Krishna says that the individual soul is unbreakable, insoluble, can be neither burned nor dried, is everlasting, present everywhere, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same. So this is totally different from the body. The body breaks, the body can be burned, can get dried, it's not, definitely not everlasting, we may die any moment, it's not present everywhere, doesn't have this capacity. It changes, definitely changes. If I look to the mirror, I don't see the same person that I was 20 years ago. It's not eternally the same. Well, of course, unchangeable means it's not the same. There is this vast difference between the soul and the body, and the reincarnation is based on the analysis or difference between the soul and the body. Thank you very much. The conference finishes here. If you have any question, please send now a written question. You cannot speak. I've seen it in this half an hour, people asking. The problem is that we want to record this class, and only my voice can be recorded. If I let you speak, that means your voice will not be recorded, and we cannot put this class or all the classes or the conferences we do on our radio. Please send me your questions by writing, and then I can answer. I will wait a few minutes, and if no further questions comes, then I will close the conference. Okay, here comes one question by our friend who is saying, what is Nirvana? Well, the word Nirvana is composed by two words, Nir and Vana. Yeah, the question is a little more complex. I'll read it. What is Nirvana? Can I get there if I'm a smoker? And will I be free of my cigarette addiction there in Nirvana and still retain my full consciousness? I was analyzing the word Nirvana. Nir is a negation, a Sanskrit negation. Vana means essence. Actually, Vana in Sanskrit means forest. But the word is something poetic. It's just analogic. So Nirvana is the absence of essence. In other words, according to Buddhistic philosophy, the perfection of human life is to totally destroy oneself and becoming zero. We call this the Shunyavada philosophy. Shunya means zero. Because they think that existence is illusory, that actually there is no existence. Existence is Maya, and perfection life means to destroy the concept of existence. But actually we don't agree with this philosophy. We say that the spiritual world is something positive, it exists, it actually is there. Perfection life is not to make a zero of our personality, but actually is to spiritualize our personality. To arrive to such a perfect stage, you cannot get it without a discipline. This is called sadhana. Sadhana is another word, a Sanskrit word. It comes from the root sad, which means to cut. Sadhana is both the person who has been able to cut his relationship with material world and the discipline which helps you to cut the relationship with the illusory world. So surely smoking is definitely a physical activity. It's an activity done because we want some pleasure, or we need some emotion. But we are not this body. But we need to learn to look for, to search for spiritual pleasures. Material pleasures will bind us to the material world and will not give us the possibility of perfect our life. For this reason, we advise everyone to stop smoking, and definitely when you go back to the spiritual world, you will not feel the need of smoking, and there are no cigarettes there, definitely not. Okay, again, to our new friends, we cannot let right now people making questions by audio, because we are recording, and your voice will not be recorded. That's bad, because we are going to put this class on our radio. Please, if you have any more questions, make it now through message, chat message, and I will answer. If not, I will close the conference now, and I will give you appointment to next week. We are going to have a weekly Italian class and weekly English class. To close, it came another questions. Thank you very much. Just before answering this other question, my name is Manon Adas. I am a disciple of Sri Sibhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement. From our friend, it came a very nice question: how desires bound us? Also, it came another question about Siddhartha Gautama. I will answer to Siddhartha Gautama question in a couple of minutes. How desires bound us? To understand the answer of this question, we have to understand how the soul is made. Because if we don't understand how the soul is made, then we cannot understand how desire can free us and desire can bind us at the same time, depending from the quality of desire. The soul, at the present stage, is just a spark of spiritual energy, doesn't have a body, doesn't have a full developed body. That's why it needs a material body, because it doesn't have a spiritual body totally developed. But even in the, let's call it, spark stage, spiritual spark stage, its natural characteristics come out naturally. And desire is one of the characteristic of the spirit soul. Right now, what happens that we have a kind of a filter all around us that filter the spiritual characteristic or capacities or qualities and make them material. The desire originally is spiritual because it comes from the spirit soul. Desire cannot come from the body, because the body is just a machine doesn't have desire. So desire always comes from the soul. But when the soul identifies with a material body and a material environment, then his desire becomes material. Why? Because thinking to be a body, he looks for his perfection, for his happiness, for everything in his life in the material world. And because the soul identifies with the material world, it desires material things and then becomes bound to this material world. Then we have to change the quality of the desire. Of course, we don't have to change the quality only desire. We have to change the quality of everything. Our way of thinking, our mind, our intelligence, everything has changed. And we have to turn the desire, which is material, in quality, to spiritual. To do this, we need what is called sadhana, that I explained a few minutes ago. We need discipline. Just like if we have an iron bar, we need this iron bar be hot. Normally iron is not hot, iron is cold. So how can we make it hot? It's very simple. We put the iron bar in a fire, and by contact with fire, slowly and gradually, the iron bar becomes of the same quality of fire. Association is important. So if we put our desire, and not only our desire, but all our person in contact with another energy, with a spiritual energy, then the desire who bound us in the past can free us. So we start by practicing the principles of Krishna consciousness. By practicing the principle of Krishna consciousness, we can see that desire will free us, because we start to desire spiritual things. We start to desire to see Krishna. We start to desire to be with him. We'll begin to desire serve him and make him happy, and so on and so forth. So it was clear. I know that cost them very much to speak in English, and sorry for my funny accent. I'm trying to do my best with a language I don't use very much. Now I go to the other question, who is Siddhartha Gautama? Well, that's a Buddha. Buddha is an incarnation of Vishnu who came thousands of years ago to teach few principles of spiritual life. And since the circumstance at that time didn't facilitate the full teaching of the Vedic philosophy, then the Buddha, the Siddhartha Gautama, taught another philosophy, which is actually partially a little opposite to the Vedic philosophy, to our philosophy, but that was because of circumstance. We have an explanation of this, let's call it a strategy, philosophical, spiritual strategy, also in the life of Jesus Christ. He said, I have many other things to tell you. In the Last Supper, he said that. I have many other things to tell you, but I don't tell you, because you will not be able to understand, so why tell this? Philosophy has to be taught according to the capacity of understanding of the students. It is useless to teach something that nobody can understand. Thank you very much. I'm Brazilian, bad English. My English is also bad. I hope, dear friend Eduardo, you understood what I've been trying to say. I invite you to visit our website. Here you find the dates and the time for the next appointment for discussing principle of Krishna consciousness, because our philosophy, and we are just testing right now. It seems it works good, and we have weekly meetings. I hope all of you will be able to come again. Thank you very much from Manana Das. Hare Krishna to all.